Hello there, and welcome to Bikescape, episode 46, April 22nd, 2006. Off and running on another Bikescape. Welcome, everybody. Nice to be here with you all. I missed you, my imaginary friends out there. I've been on vacation. Took a month off from podcasting. And a lot of things have been falling in my lap during this time. Just little things. I went down to L.A. for a while. Seems like I have to go there a lot these days. What with the family obligations and everything. But, sometimes you go down to L.A. and things look better than you thought they would. You know, you think that L.A. is this... I keep talking about how L.A. is different than what it seems. And this time, Bike Summer showed up a lot of stuff. And today I'm just out in the... last week I'm out in the valley, with my in-laws. And lo and behold, I realized that just about 2 miles away from my... out in the valley where nothing ever happens... there's a velodrome, so I go down there, and I learned how to ride on a velodrome a little bit anyway, so we got a start and a little taste, and I'm very interested in it now. So it was a nice experience. Also, during the time since I last saw you, my friend Scott Mace sent me some audio, and he covered, this is great, I love when people send me audio. Scott's going to be starting up his own podcast in the near future, and it hasn't happened yet, but he's starting to collect some audio files, and he's sending them off to Bikescape, which is great. So I edit it down, and I'll play a portion of it about the new bike parking situation over at the Caltrain station, one of the commuter trains here in San Francisco. So things have been happening, and also there's a lot of news regarding the last episode about the park closing JFK Drive and Golden Gate Park to cars on Saturdays as well as Sundays. So a lot of things to cover today, and I'm going to get into it forthwith. Okay, so I'm down in L.A. just a week ago, less than a week ago, and the weather was nice and hot and warm in early April, and unlike San Francisco where it's just been raining incessantly, it's just been a freaking drag. And I happen upon the Encino Velodrome out in the middle of the valley, and looked at their website, checked out their schedule, and went down for race night, or racers practice night, I should say, and checked that out. I didn't think that I'd actually be riding or anything because it was a racers night. I didn't feel like I was qualified to ride like 3 inches away in a pace line from a guy in front of me, and just wasn't up for that kind of practice. But I was interested in going and checking it out, and Gregory, who I met at the gate, we waited for the place to open, convinced me that I really should go, since I do know how to ride a fixed gear bike. Track racing, in case you don't know it, you ride on a track bike. You've heard about track bikes on Bikescape and probably elsewhere, and you probably see them if you live in a big city out on the streets, but the track bike actually got its start as a track racing bike on a meant to be ridden on a velodrome track. And there are a couple kinds of velodromes. There's the outdoor concrete one, which is the kind I went to, and then there's the indoor parquet velodrome, which is banked much higher, and we'll be talking about that later. But I did get to Henry there, Henry Shibata, who runs the place, was willing to let me try it. I had to sign a waiver, and I knew how to ride a track bike, so that helped, but never been on a track. And he gave me some lessons and showed me how to ride in a pace line, basically, and it was pretty interesting. So I wanted to get some audio of riding on the track, but I didn't think it was appropriate. People were just a little serious there, and I didn't want to get distracted and mow somebody down or whatever. I don't know. Didn't seem right, but I did get some interviews while I was there, and the first person I ran into, as I said, was Gregory. I talked to him. He drives up from Santa Barbara every week and practices out on the track, and I went and talked to him for a while and got this little short interview. And of course, you can hear my kids having a great time at the velodrome as well, so they kind of interrupted the interview a couple times, but yeah, it's podcasting. Well, anyway, here's Gregory. Okay, so this is your host, John, here. Came down to Los Angeles, out in the valley, where I didn't think anything ever happened. And there's my kids, all want to talk to. No, we're on the air here. There's Theo. Theo and Lily and I went to the park, and we found out there's a velodrome here in L.A. It's called Encino Velodrome. It was built for the Olympics back in, what year was the Olympics?
78, 74.
Yeah. So the first person I met here getting out of his car, unloading his bike, was, what was your name's Greg, right?
Gregory.
Gregory, hi. And you come from Santa Barbara, you drive up from Santa Barbara to...
Yeah, hour and a half drive.
Yeah. And this place is run by somebody named...
I think Eddie. Well, there's a whole bunch of people, but right now, Henry is running it tonight.
Yeah.
The program.
The place is in pretty good shape. You know, what year was it?
50 years old, at least.
Is it really that old? Oh, I thought it was built for the Olympics. Okay.
No.
Once again, Bikescape is wrong with the facts.
And that's another type of race,
but it's in really good shape. Who maintains it?
Encino Velo, the group, the club, maintains it.
And so, to join the club, No, I'm busy interviewing somebody. And so you can join the club by just visiting Encino Velo.
I suppose so. I don't know. I'm not a member of the club.
Okay.
But it's race here without it.
It's EncinoVelodrome.org, right?
EncinoVelo.org.
So it's a beautiful track. I've never been on one before, I have to admit. And you can rent a track bike for $7, and then for $10 more, you can ride around for the evening. And when the sun comes down, if there's 15 or more people, they'll turn the lights on for you and take you around. And Henry Shibata, who's an old retired racer, he's not old, but he's a...
50-something.
He's my age. I'll admit my age. And that's the first time I've ever told my age on Bikescape. But he rides a bike with his name on it. He's a Japanese racer from way back, and he runs this place. And he just took me around the track a few times. He's got the racing wheels on right now. And he shows me how to ride in a pace line and how to pass and how to exchange places on the pace line. What's the official word for that?
Pace line.
To exchange the front to back. And it's amazing, but there's no right turns on a velodrome, just left turns. So he's very patient. He thought I was an expert here because I told him I knew how to ride a track bike, but that in San Francisco doesn't mean anything about riding on a track. And when I told him I'd never even seen a track before, he went, whoa, time out. And he had to give me the full lesson.
Especially when you consider the banked curves.
So, Gregory, tell me real quick, what are the various different kinds of racing games you can play here and how do they work?
Well, there is Match Sprint, which is two men, both racing for 250 meters. And usually the tactics on that are slow to start with, and then usually they race sprint out for the last lap. That way, one person is not leading the whole way around, and the other person just passes them at the end by drafting in his draft. So that way, the second person, the person that's behind, doesn't get that long to draft, so they usually go slow for the first two laps and sprint for the third. The next type of racing is 500 meters, and that would be on this track twice around, and that's all out. That's usually done by yourself.
So that's just a time trial, basically.
Just a time trial. Uh-huh. Then there's the kilo, which on this track would be four times around, and that is just by yourself also. And I think they have a match kilo, where each person starts at the two halfway points and ride.
Uh-huh.
And if you catch your opponent, you're automatically won, or whoever gets the fastest time. There's the 3,000 meter, there's 5,000 meter. They're all done in match sprints, usually.
And Henry used to race Kirin races, right?
Henry used to race a Kirin, which is also done on this track, which is motor pace. They bring a motorcycle out, approximately seven riders ride behind for the first five laps, and it's a seven-lap race. The last two laps are sprinted full out.
Uh-huh. Without the motorcycle. The motorcycle pulls off.
Okay. So that's a lot to digest. There's places you can look to read about this. Look at wikipedia.org and check it out.
So that interview ends kind of suddenly, I realize. That's because, I was down there for family. And as I said, and family was awaiting. My ride had arrived and I was ready to go. But I did check out some more research. And in addition to those kind of races that he was talking about, the Kieran and the Madison, or the Madison, he didn't mention the Madison, is named after Madison Square Garden, where the races originated. The old 6-day bike races that just went on and on and on in the old days. They used to happen back in the turn of the century in New York City. And they're also known as the American races around the rest of the world. It's a high speed, two people. It's like tag teams. It's kind of it's kind of like roller derby. You have these two man tag teams at take place, and it's pretty crazy. It's an alternative, because they're racing and resting because it's a tag team. It's just always on. They're always going really fast, and it's pretty cool that way. Individual time trials we talked about. Team sprints. The team sprint is a race against the clock with these three men teams. The riders are each rider is supposed to take is responsible for leading one lap, and then he pulls off and lets his teammates take over. So the task of being the starting rider is to get out of the gate cleanly, according to this website, and bring the team up to high speed as quickly as possible. And then there's team pursuit. It's a 4,000 meter team pursuit. It's a technique test of technique and teamwork and endurance and. It sounds pretty crazy, actually. People are going really fast. And it's kind of an interesting thing to watch because, they'll have, these races where, people are drafting each other and they, it's just a 3-lap race, but it'll start out real slowly because you don't want to give any advantage to the people drafting you behind. And there's this jockeying for position. And then all of a sudden, the last lap, everybody's flying 45 miles an hour. I mean, literally 45 miles an hour. So it's a wonderful sport. And... let's go to the other interview, because just as I finished that interview thinking I was going away to dinner, Henry Shibata came off the track and I just had to interview him because he's the guy that runs the place. So here's the interview with Henry.
Okay, so we're standing here with Henry Shibata. He's out of breath. He's been riding really hard. He's riding this really nice Bridgestone bike with his name on it. It says Henry Shibata. That means you're somebody important, famous racer, huh?
No. I'm retired.
Yeah. But you run this place now?
Yes, I am.
Used to race in Japan or here?
Yeah, both.
Doing the Kieran races.
Yeah, nothing but Kieran. I don't know anything about it. Else.
Really?
Henry
gave me a great lesson, showed me how to ride in a pace line and how to switch places, exchange places in the pace line. It was really interesting because it seems simple, but it's not. It's very hard. Just like spin, it seems simple, but it's hard. So, who finances this place? Who pays for it?
Well, basically, non-profit organization. And run by the government. I'm in a board of director, not the select by, not the member. So it's run by not individual do this kind of thing, fundraise. Basically, that's it.
Do you look for donations?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Always welcome.
Where do you go if you would like to make a donation or if you'd like to visit?
Well, as whichever we can think we can do, we do. Okay. But fortunately, land, we are landed from the Naval Reserve, this property.
Naval Reserve property?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I noticed the reserves are down the street.
So we don't need to pay anything. We're here. And we're running for the youth program, which is run at every Thursday night, 5 to 7. U.S. Cycling Federation that gave us a fund.
Uh-huh.
Not much, but at least keep a light on it. Then we have a race in it almost every other week during the season, which is March to October. Yeah, that's you know, another fun race. So basically that's it. Then if anyone donate any money,
we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah, okay.
We take it.
That's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That's yeah, it's a well-kept secret, it seems like. There's usually more people here than tonight, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Is it supposed to be? But we have an ADT, which is Carson Velodrome. That's a brand new
indoor. Right, we were just talking about that.
So kind of spread, maybe. Uh-huh. But we're looking forward. People come back, yeah.
But on a night like tonight, it's just great to be outdoors.
Beautiful,
yeah.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. The sky is this beautiful color right now.
No complaint.
All right, well, thank you for teaching me how to ride on a track, and I'll see you again, I'm sure.
Yeah.
My in-laws live right down the street. How old am I?
Yeah.
I'm 48.
Okay.
Never said that on the air before.
Yeah.
Now everybody knows I'm not 18. Most of my listeners are younger than me.
I'm 58.
Yeah, oh, good. You don't look it at all.
So you're a long way to catch me up.
Okay. Well, I'm here with my in-laws, and they're waiting for me to go.
Okay.
So it was a great pleasure, and I'll look for you again next time. See you later, Greg. Man Machine, Kraftwerk, the great techno innovators from Germany. They were doing techno before there was a word for techno back in the 70s. But ever since the beginning of Kraftwerk, their music has always been about the convergence of their Mensch Maschine, the man and the machine. And I don't think there's any better convergence of the human and the machine as with the human-powered bicycle, the human-powered vehicle, the person sitting on a bicycle. It's just this oneness that's really amazing, and it's never purer than when you see human and a fixed-gear bicycle operating, you know, on the street or on a track. It's just a beauty to behold. It's when you see a flock of people riding by on a fixed-gear bike, it's just so beautiful. It's just the silence, there's no fix, this and the cadence and the spin, the way they can spin so perfectly, and the way they never use their brakes. They just sort of flow through things, and they're always looking for the out and the in, and trying to shoot the tube, as the surfers say. And since you see so many of these fixed gear bikes now in the city in San Francisco, here where I live, and since the bike culture is so strong, I really don't understand why we don't have a velodrome here in San Francisco. And I know there's been talk about it for years, and people talk about it, but nobody ever does anything. And
There used to be one in Golden Gate Park, and it's not there anymore. And I don't know what the circumstances led to his, what the circumstances were that led to his demise, but it's not there. And it needs to be brought back somehow. We need to talk to Reckon Park and see about having that rebuilt at some point in the future. Now, let's shift gears, if that's possible, from a single speed to something totally different. My buddy Scott Mace sent me this audio file, as I said, and as promised, I'm going to play it. It's about the new parking facilities for bicyclists down at the Caltrain station, the commuter rail that runs down the peninsula from San Francisco down to Silicon Valley. So without any further ado, let's go to Scott's audio file.
This is Scott Mace with the Bike Parking Report. On February 27, 2006, Caltrain kicked off construction of a 1,600-square-foot bicycle parking facility at the train station at 4th and King Streets in San Francisco. Here are the highlights from the kickoff. The first speaker you'll hear is Caltrain Board Chair Ken Yeager.
It's been a real challenge to come up with the money and a way to make this project pencil out, but at long last, we're here to celebrate the start of construction of the Caltrain San Francisco Bike Parking Facility. Let's have a round of applause for that. But on this spot in late summer, a new 1,600-square-foot building will be open for business, ready to park its first bicycle. Bicyclists are very important to Caltrain. We were the trailblazers when we were when we allowed bikes on board in 1992. The program has expanded again and again, and today we allow bikes on every train every day. We are proud of the fact that Caltrain is recognized nationally as the leader among commuter railroads. Before Caltrain awarded the bid for construction of the building, we also selected an operator. He goes by the name of Cash. I don't know where Cash is. There he is. And he's known to all of to us and those in the bicycling community, and his business is called Warm Planet Bikes. So congratulations, Cash. Cash has an extensive track record in San Francisco with bike parking, and we are hopeful and optimistic that he will be successful in his new business venture.
Next, Leah Shaham, Executive Director of the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition.
I want to mention, we probably couldn't miss the headlines over the last few days, that the number one concern on people's minds in the Bay Area is transportation, above housing, above everything else. Number one, transportation. That probably doesn't surprise any of us here getting around, working in the field that we do. But I want to commend the agencies here. I want to commend all of us. I want to commend San Francisco especially for being a leader to make sure that we're looking outside the box, that we're being creative in how we address those challenges. We've got to be innovative. We've got to be doing things like this bike station. We've got to be combining multimodal transportation if we're going to succeed, if we're going to make sure that that number one concern drops way down low so that people are thrilled with their transportation options. I would recommend we look at other cities around the world, cities like Amsterdam, Copenhagen, Berlin, Paris, London. These are all cities quite similar to ours in many ways, who are making sometimes difficult but usually successful choices to step outside of the build the freeways and they will come mentality, instead to invest in our transit systems, to make sure our light rail systems connect with the train system, that our bike network connects with the train system, that we're giving people affordable, environmentally friendly, and more city-friendly options for getting around. I think we're doing that in San Francisco, and I think we're going to see an amazing success here. Mr. Yeager mentioned some impressive numbers about the bike usage on the Caltrain system. I want to share some numbers that we have. I think they're about a year old. I hope they're still correct. But this station specifically, the 4th and King Station, you see 9% of overall riders at this station bringing their bicycles on the train. That's 540 roughly passengers a day at this station alone. This is the highest bikes on transit ridership in the nation. We're doing something right. It's fantastic. And as several people have mentioned, The demand is growing. That's a good thing. We're meeting that demand. Let's not shy away from it. I do want to put my own caveat, if I could, on one thing Mr. Yeager said, is that from the Bike Coalition perspective, we don't want to reduce the bike access on the trains. We want to make sure that there's growing access everywhere, on the trains where we can, but off the trains. I think we know the future of combined bike and train mobility is to make sure there's station access, that we're not only doing it here at 4th and King, but up and down the line at the biggest stations around the Bay Area. We know we have great success on the BART systems now with the growing bike stations. They're doing a wonderful job. You all are, Caltrain is reopening, the wonderful success Palo Alto station. We need to make sure this grows and that we're inviting more bicyclists onto the system. We know that's going to actually increase your ridership, increase your revenue, and increase the pleasure for all of us in getting around San Francisco. So I just want to say thank you so much. It's been a pleasure for the Bicycle Coalition to be a part of this project, and we cannot wait to get out here and make it a booming success. So we look forward to a few months from now coming back with our bikes and ringing our bike bells. Thanks so much.
After dignitaries had ceremonially spray-painted on the sidewalk where the facility will stand, I spoke with Cash, who will run the bike depot once it opens. So I'm talking to Cash. How are you?
I'm very good.
Follow up on the announcements here today. What size will the facility be, and what will the operating hours be, and some other nitty-gritty details, if you know them?
Well, as I always say when people ask me down at the bike parking facility at the Giant Stadium, we will always take one more bike. I will figure out a way to expand this facility to meet all the needs of the cyclists in this city. The nominal capacity is 100 bikes parked. We have a 1,600 square foot facility, which is broken into a full service bike shop and a parking area. We expect to be open sometime within the year, but it looks like a winter opening, which actually makes for quite a few possibilities, since this is a commuter-oriented shop, and commuters ride in the winter.
And what about hours of operation?
Well, that's the hardest thing. We have to start work at 6:30 in the morning, and we're required to stay open until 6 in the evening, but I think a lot of later commuters are going to be coming through as late as 7 o'clock. So we're looking at a 12 or 13-hour day on the weekdays, and then another 10-hour days, two 10-hour days for the weekends. It's going to be quite a long day for me. We're going to be open on weekends simply because that's a traditionally busy day for bike shops, and the bike shop has to succeed to fund the bike parking.
Are there any sources of revenue other than the bike shop?
No. Once this is up and running and we've exhausted the startup funds, this will be entirely run without subsidy and entirely without cost to the people who park there.
Will there be any option for people who come after the facility is closed to retrieve their bike through some kind of smart key or anything like that?
There are generally security issues with any kind of automated access system. Anybody who's ever lived in an apartment building in New York knows that. We will figure out a way for off-hour access to work, but my system relies entirely on someone standing over the bikes and keeping an eye on them. That is the only security system that has ever been known to work.
Will you also take donations?
Absolutely.
How about other help you could need? Are you going to need personnel to help staff this?
Well, as I say, this is a full-service bike shop. So we're running a small bike shop, and the employees also do the bike parking. I think this is the best, lowest cost in the long run solution to storing bikes safely.
Thanks for talking to me today.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you, Scott. You can check out Scott Mace's blog at urbification.blogspot.com. So you can check also on bikescape.blogspot.com. That's where the show notes reside for the show, and you can check any links that I might put up that might apply to anything I talk about in the show. And, of course, you're welcome to leave comments at the blog, and it's there for everybody to read. Okay, the news. Well, the last show, which was a while back, was primarily about closing JFK Drive in Golden Gate Park on Saturdays, as it is on Sundays right now. And the issue is, you know, how do we want to use that space? Is it a park or is it a parking lot? Is it a space for as a refuge from the rigors of everyday city life, or is it a place to go and park your car and go to a museum? So that's been moving right along. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee of the Board of Supervisors here in San Francisco got together, and they approved with a recommendation to pass this legislation. Unanimously, all three supervisors did that, and it was kind of good to see that, because we weren't sure about the third supervisor if she would go with it or not. That happened, and now it's going to go before the Board of Supervisors. Well, I actually forget what the date is, but check the blog. It'll be there in the show notes. And it will be voted for by the full 11 members of the Board of Supervisors. And from what I understand, it's a 7-4 vote right now, which is a clear majority, but it's not veto-proof. And there's a few people that are voting no, and but I think it looks good, and there is some suspicion and fear that the mayor will veto it, because there is actually some opposition from within the museum community in the Golden Gate Park. They would like to keep the cars coming into the park, and so they're mounting a strong campaign to stop it. They sent out a letter to all of their members of the fine arts museums in San Francisco, asking them to call their supervisors, and the supervisors did get some calls. And basically, the thing about it is that they're lying. They're saying that business goes down in the museums when the cars are shut off on Sundays, and that the museums will die, and nobody will go see their art, and no big exhibits will come if they have if they close the road on Saturdays. So it turns out that were never able to provide the numbers for that back that claim up. But at 12:22 on the day of the hearing at the subcommittee of the committee of the Board of Supervisors, a reporter from the Bay Guardian got a hold of this information, and under a Freedom of Information Act of all things, and provided it to the Bike Coalition. And apparently, there are many Sundays, more than half of the Sundays, where the road is closed now, and they are actually getting more patrons in their park, in their garage, in their, museum than they do on Saturdays. So, and they also have a brand new garage that they built, and they promised that once the garage was built, they would look forward to welcoming closed Saturdays, but apparently that's not happening. They're breaking that promise as well. So there are a lot of little whoppers that have come up, and I invite you to read the San Francisco Bay Guardian article and also the SF Weekly article about it if you're interested in this. But this is something that's true in all cities, you know, that we really have to think about what our public space is about and how we're going to use it, and is it going to all be given over to the car, even in the parks, even Central Park has car-free days. So, you know, if they can do it in New York, we certainly can do it here in San Francisco. So if you live here, or even if you don't, call the supervisors, go to the blog and check out the email addresses and phone numbers. It's all there. And please give them a call and see if you can get, especially Bevan Dufty. You can get a hold of Supervisor Bevan Dufty. His website is right there on the blog. And tell him you want this thing to go through. Approve this legislation. And also, you can also write to Mayor Gavin Newsom and make sure he understands that there's a lot of support for this Healthy Saturdays, is what we're calling it. And if he wants to have his healthy political career, he needs to vote for Healthy Saturdays as well, and not, or at least not veto it. Okay, so what else is happening? Let's look at the calendar. Well, this is something that happened today, but I'm going to mention it anyway because it's so cool. Today was in New York City at the St. John the Divine Cathedral on Amsterdam Avenue. They had the 8th annual Blessing of the Bikes. So that's, isn't that cute? That's just wonderful. I mean, you know, you got to get your bikes blessed, you know. So that happened in New York. Let's see what else is happening in New York since we're there. Let's see. Critical Mass, of course, is on the 28th, last Friday of the month. Critical Mass Manhattan ride. They're having a party after the ride at 9 p.m. at 84 Clinton Avenue in Brooklyn between Myrtle and Park. So there's that. And is the recording? Okay, good. Also on the 29th, which is the following Saturday after Critical Mass, 10 p.m., Columbus Circle, the Riverside ride. They meet the southwest corner of Central Park at the intersection of Broadway, Central Park South, 59th Street, and Central Park West. So that's what I'm going to say about New York. Here in San Francisco, there's a few things happening. Well, Critical Mass also, last Friday of the night of the week. It's getting late, folks. Last Friday of the month, the 28th. There is going to be a flats and chains class at the Bike Kitchen, the San Francisco Bike Kitchen, that is. Tuesday, April 25th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Bike Kitchen, Mission Village Market at 18th and Alabama. They're asking for $10 to $25, limited to 20 people. It's How Not to Get Stuck. How Not to Get Stuck, the class aimed at the bicycle commuter or recreational rider, will teach you what you need to know so that you won't get stuck out on the road. We'll teach you what you need to have to be prepared, how to fix a flat, how to repair a broken chain. Class will be hands-on. You will leave confident in these basic bike repair skills, whether you need just to brush up on your skills or whether you never touched a wrench in your life. This class is for you. So that's you can write to them at thebikekitchen@yahoo.com. And once again, that's the San Francisco Bike Kitchen. There's going to be a bike swap down the peninsula in Cupertino, home of Apple Computer, down in the Silicon Valley, Sunday, April 30th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Cupertino Bike Shop, 10493 De Anza Boulevard. It's a large bike swap meet that benefits ROMP, Responsible Organized Mountain Peddlers. Nearly 60 vendors swapping and selling all manner of bike components and gear. Lines usually begin forming around 8 a.m., and the admission is only $2. So you can email lkahn, L-K-A-H-N, at frk.com. Also very interesting, there's a group of people organizing a bike block. There's the big immigration protest, probably in your town. You can organize one of these yourself if you hear about this in time. But May 1st, May Day, there's going to be, I'll just read it. It says, in protest of current immigration legislation, there is a call for a general strike on May 1st. No work, no school, no buying or selling. Events are planned all day long, including a cacerolazo, which is called Spanish for the banging of pots with spoons. It's a big permitted march and at least one big rally, and they're asking you to bring your bike. We're asking, I'm going to go. Bring your bike and join the crowd. It's a critical mass, but this time during business hours. And we'll be meeting at Dubose Park at 7:30 in the morning. That's Monday morning, May 1st, May Day. So you can write to Faybysh, F-A-Y-B-Y-S-H, 57, at yahoo.com for more information. And I'll put links to all of this on the blog. The Lakes of Mount Tam Tour. Mount Tamalpais is the full name. Saturday, May 6th, 12:15 p.m., meet at the San Francisco Ferry Terminal and catch the 12:30 Larkspur Ferry. They will visit the three most accessible lakes north of Mount Tam, Phoenix Lake, Bontempi Lake, and Lake Langanitas. For the most part, the fire roads are well maintained, making this one of the most peaceful, simple, and pleasurable mountain bike rides I know of. so don't bring your road bike. They're saying it's got moderate difficulty. It's a mountain bike only ride, 10 miles. Some experience required. Bring food, water, and helmets. And that's that. Just check through here and see if there's anything I'm missing. Oh my goodness, this will be fun. At the Independent, at Divisadero and Hayes, it's a nightclub. Pee-wee's Big Adventure on the big screen. Kicking off Bike to Work Week, which is coming up. They're going to kick it off with a movie night at the Independent. The SFBC will be hosting a large screen viewing of the beloved movie about a man in search of his big red bike. Pee-wee's Big Adventure, free to the public with a two-drink minimum. Doors open at 7:30, movie at 8. And, of course, Bike to Work Day. You'll be hearing all about that here. Thursday, May 18th, citywide, all day. Hop on your bike and join the pedal-powered commute. Ride by an Energizer station and pick up snacks and coffee as a special thank you for choosing the sane and sustainable bike for transportation. So you can read more about that at sfbike.org/BTWD, Bike to Work Day, for all the details. And, of course, on Thursday, that same day, they have a bike away from work party, which is always fun after work. Join your fellow commuters as we unwind from the Bike to Work Day extravaganza. Relax, mingle, have a drink, win raffle prizes, free valet bike parking. That's Thursday, May 18th, 6 to 9 p.m. at the 111 Minna Gallery at 111 Minna Street. Okay, well, that's another Bikescape. What are we up to? 41 minutes. Good Lord. Moving right along. What do I need to say? Well, I guess I always remind people to please write to me at bikescape@sbcglobal.net. I'd like to know your feelings about this and every show. It's always great to hear some kind of feedback. And tell me what you like. Please tell me what you don't like. Technical information about the sound quality would be great. How does it sound on your MP3 player? Can you hear it when you're riding on the subway? Is it too loud? Is it too quiet? Is it too... I know I need to get a new microphone one of these days. Working on it. And let's see. What else can I say? Okay, write to me. Oh, give me ideas for shows. I'm always looking for that. Now that it's summertime, there should be a lot of ideas. Lots of things are happening. But please do give me your input. And, of course, there's the blog. Leave your comments. And it's always nice to see some new comments on the iTunes site also. You can always leave a little review at the iTunes site or at Podcast Alley or whatever. So I'll beg for some kind of support there. So here's a song in honor of what's going on in the park. It's the Counting Crows doing an updated version of an old Joni Mitchell song. Bye, everybody. And don't forget... Take the lane.
They paved paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? It'd be a paradise and put up a parking lot. They took all the trees and put them in a tree museum, and they charged the people a dollar and a half to see them. No, 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 don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? It'd be a paradise and put up a parking lot. Paradise, put up a parking lot. And now they pay paradise to put up a parking lot. Why not?
This was late last night. I heard the screen door swing, and a big yellow taxi took my girl away. Now don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? To be in paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, nah, nah. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? To be in paradise, put up a parking lot. Why not? They pay paradise to put up a parking lot. I should wanna give.